This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Eventually, we'd like to get back to Luke, but in light of upcoming events, this being the first Sunday of the year, I'd like to dovetail off of last week's message with this word of encouragement to you. The Lord has been doing something in my heart in the past number of weeks. If you've read our newsletter, the recent newsletter, you kind of understand what I'm talking about. And I'm thankful for the stories that God gives in His Word of different people who had to struggle against the forces of evil, because it's very encouraging. Last week we looked at David and Goliath, and that was a true encouragement to me. The question that we asked at the end of that message was, are we cowering Christians or are we daring disciples? Are we willing to put our reputations and our comforts and our ambitions on the altar for the sake of rescuing the perishing and caring for the dying? Now, in the same line of thinking, we begin the year with a message entitled Stand Fast. Because there's one more element to this story. And I really encourage you to listen to that message by Pastor Eric Luthy, because it ties in with this. If you think about it, David was alone. Nobody stood with him. But his conviction was so severe that it didn't matter if he was alone. He was going to stand fast, whether his Hebrew people backed him up or not. Why? Because the glory of Yahweh was being defied. And nobody defies the living God. Now the question is, will you stand fast, even if you're all alone? Will I? Is the conviction of truth that we hold dear, that we have come to know and love, is it so severe, this conviction, that we don't care if we've got half of the world's, half of the world has got our back, or nobody's got our back? We're not going to yield. We're not going to give in. We're going to stand fast. Listen to this. A university conducted this experiment, an experiment on its students, where they would gather 10 students into a room with an instructor. The instructor would hold up a card, and the card had three lines on it. And the lines were different lengths. And the instructor would tell the students to raise their hand when he pointed to the longest line. However, 9 of the students were told beforehand to raise their hand when the instructor pointed to the second longest line. So, when the instructor pointed to the longest line, one student would shoot up their hand. And then they'd look around and see that nobody else followed suit. Almost immediately, the student would lower their hand down when they saw that they were alone. They did this with several groups and discovered that 75% of the time, the one student would immediately lower his or her hand. I can't help but compare this experiment to the exact events we're seeing transpire before our very own eyes in our nation. It actually seems like an accurate ratio. 90% of our nation's leadership are being told to do the opposite of what pure reason sees as obvious. And the remaining 10% are struggling to maintain their hands up, to keep their hands up, maintain the conviction that everybody else is against them. And among those 10%, many are wondering if their own simple reason has deceived themselves. And to be honest, I think of that, but then I think, as easy as it is to point the finger in the government's direction, I can't help but ask the question for myself. If I were in that group of students, when the instructor pointed to a line that was completely, clearly, obviously, the longest line on the card, when I rose my hand, would I let it back down? Because everybody else's hands are down. That's the majority's opinion. Or would I keep it up because I will not go against the pure reason of my senses? Would I keep my hand up? Would I stand fast? Would you? This is a good question for us to ask ourselves right at the beginning of this year. Because if we learned anything from last year, it is this. We don't know what a day can bring. And it may be the case that just as there were evil agendas and deceit in 2020, there may be in 2021. Okay, not maybe. There will be. It is the case. The forces of evil will continue until the very end. Will we stand fast? Even when we are alone. You know, it's much easier to stand fast when everybody else is standing fast around you. Imagine that all 10 students would raise their hand when the instructor pointed to the longest line and the instructor would tell them that they're wrong. The students would band together. They would share, each sharing the same conviction, each totally convinced that the instructor was in error. They would lock arms with one another and rally together in their minds as one man and with one voice speak their objection to the instructor who has obviously been outnumbered. But when you stand fast alone, how easy is it? When nobody is there to say, I got your back, would you still stand tall? When everybody is annoyed with your inability to see it their way, will you buckle? When the threats increase, the pressure increase, the taunts increase, will you hold your ground? Will you stand fast? Just look at history and you can see that men and women who are remembered, the heroes whom we herald as praiseworthy, are the ones who held a conviction that was right, it was true, it was just, and they held their ground on it, and they didn't buckle under pressure. And oftentimes, they were all alone. Will we stand fast? When the devil's schemes are mightier today than they were yesterday, will we stand fast? When the world's distractions and allurements are magnetizing now more than ever, will you stand fast? When your flesh is fierce and seething with desire to selfishly please oneself, will you stand fast? As Priscilla Owens penned, will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? Will you stand fast? Part of being a Christian means that we possess unyielding convictions on what is true. Unyielding convictions to such a degree that we will give our lives if need be. And that is a massive statement when you think about the self-preserving nature of our society. It doesn't want to do anything that interferes with my pleasures or ambitions. A Christian stands upon his or her belief so much so that nothing can overthrow, nothing can stand in the way, nothing can remove the conviction that what he or she believes in is worth dying for. That is our conviction. Now, although our scripture reading earlier was in Acts, we're actually going to look at a different verse for the bulk of our message. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open to this Bible verse as we perform surgery. Sometimes it's good to get a bird's eye view of a large portion of scripture like we did with David and Goliath, but sometimes it's also good to dissect and do surgery on one particular passage. There are no titles for each section. We're simply going to unpack what God has spoken to us in this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. Verse 13 and 14. Paul says this, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. So we're going to pick that apart. The first word that we see there in that passage is watch. Watch. Now this word has more to do than when you think, you know, watch television. It's a little bit more in depth than that. This word is used when Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, be on the watch. I will come like a thief in the night in a time when you don't know and an hour when you do not expect. And so that word gives the idea that we are to be alert. We're to keep our eyes open. We're to be aware of our surroundings. We're to watch. Jesus used it when he went into the Garden of Gethsemane and he brought his disciples and he said, keep watch. Keep watch. Something's going to happen. Or you think of the Old Testament that there would be watchmen. Watchmen were people who, men who would go on the outside of the fortress or stand on the fortress and they would have shifts throughout the night and they would watch in case an enemy came upon them to attack them in the middle of the night. And they would have first, second, third watches of the night. So that's the idea that Paul is getting at. Watch. I remember there was a time there was a particular burden on my heart that I was praying about. And I was praying about it at evening. And it was like the Lord put this picture of a watchman in my heart. And he was saying to my heart, watch. Keep watch. And I stayed up and I had this severe sense that God was doing something in the world, that he was out there fighting. He was battling the forces of evil and he wanted me to stay alert and keep praying and watch and watch. And there came a point throughout that evening that the work I felt was accomplished. That the Lord, in a sense, had put his sword back into its sheath. And I went to bed. And the next day, he answered. To stand fast, there has to be an idea of watching. There has to be an alertness. There has to be an awareness to the action around you. There has to be a sensitivity to the movement of those around you. You know, we have a little dog. Her name is Millie. And what a example, what an illustration of being watchful for the Lord's return. She is so close to Alicia. I'm nobody. She's just so close to Alicia. And when I'm home alone with her and Millie's there, if Alicia goes out to do something, go shopping, Millie's just ears up, watching, waiting. Hours. It amazes me. Hours. She's just standing there with eyes wide open, ears perked up, waiting. I can go there and try to pet her and comfort her. She's just, I'm not existent at that point. I only exist when Alicia's around. And so she hears the car pulling in. Just immediately she starts barking and jumping and running around the house and so glad. This is the idea. This is the concept. Watch. Be on the alert. That is what keeps us aware of our surroundings. We live in a very distracted world. When we stop watching, that becomes the gateway for the enemy's attacks. When we stop watching, if we fall asleep, when we have the shift to be a watchman, we're on the fortress, if we fall asleep, that's when the enemy's going to come. He's like, hey, the watchman's asleep, let's attack. He will always look for a weak point. Jim Elliot, who was a missionary to South America, he was speared to death. He said this, wherever you are, be all there. Wherever you are, be all there. When you go to a store, when you visit someone, when you're in church, be all there. All of your faculties, let them be there, present, engaged, operating. We live in a very distracted world with the way technology is. Everybody's kind of in their own little world. It amazes me, you know, I work for Amish people. We'll be driving down the road, and they don't own cell phones themselves, really, and you know they're not distracted by modern technology. And it amazes me. They'll be driving down the road. They just talk about anything and everything. We'll be going down the road. Oh, look at that tree over there. Oh, there's a deer over there. Oh, that's so and so's farm. You know, he did this, such and such. And they just a constant stream of conversation through the whole ride. They're always aware of their surroundings. And the question for us is, are we watchful? Do we have a hold on our thought life, on our minds? Is our thought life being brought under the control of the Holy Spirit? We need to be watchful in order to stand fast, because if we're distracted, we won't see the attack of the enemy. We won't see him come from the flanks and the side. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Engage your mind. Be watchful. Be aware. 2020 has taught us this. You don't know what a day will bring. People learned from this last election to be watchful. You never know when they're going to slip in some false ballots. They say that the Georgia runoff election is crucial, and they have record-breaking poll watchers this time around because they learned their lesson to be on the watch. So that's a qualifier, but look here. We're back in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, watch. And then that phrase, stand fast in the faith. We're going to pick that apart, okay? Stand. The word stand. It has a similar definition, like, you know, that phrase, steadfast, okay? Interesting, it has Old English and Germanic origins, which makes sense. If you're in our Sunday school lesson, you learned about the barbaric tribes of England and Germany. And this word stand has roots in a military term, you know, stand. Often these people were engaged in warfare and they would yell to their soldiers to stand. And you know, the word just sounds German, you know, stand, be steadfast. It just sounds German. You know, but you look at the two words there. You got stand and fast, okay? Stand fast. When I think of that word fast, I think of fasten. Okay? He's not saying stand fast like stand quickly. He's saying stand fastened. Stand fast. One of my favorite tools is a vice grip. Vice grips are awesome. Okay, you take them, they're little wrenches, and you open them up to a certain width and you take them and they've got a certain double lever mechanism on them. You close it, it just clamps tight and you can't release it. Give a man a duct tape, a vice grip, and WD-40 and he'll rule the world. The picture here is that when the winds of adversity beat against you, the goal is to stand fast. That is to stand fastened, immovable. You will not topple over. You will not be pushed over by despair. You will not be pushed over by hopelessness. You will not be pushed over by anxiety. You will hold your ground fastened to the promises of God Almighty. You will stand fast. There is a reason why you're able to stand fast, honestly. Do you think that you have the weight and the ability in and of yourself or myself to stand fast against the evils, powers of this day? Absolutely not. That's like trying to stand in the midst of a tornado. You and I don't have the ability in ourselves to stand fast. There is something outside of ourselves that enables us to stand fast against temptations or stand fast against trials or stand fast against tribulations. And it's in our verse. Watch, stand fast in the faith. In the faith. You're able to stand because you're in something. We all know Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, about the armor of God. It begins this way, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Trials and temptations are like tornadoes. Can you stand in a tornado? Can you stand fast? I can. The winds are too strong. I will topple over and blow away. But if I were fixed in something, then I'd be able to stand. And the Bible tells us to stand fast in the faith. It is faith in Jesus Christ that fixes us in the ground of truth and causes us to stand. I've done some work with people who put fencing in for farmers. And they have this mechanism, this attachment that they put onto a skid steer. And it's a post driver. You've got these cedar posts that are, I don't know, 6 feet or so. And they're round and both ends are flat. There's no point. And they take this cedar post and they go to solid ground, hard, soft, what have you. And they place it upright and this post pounder comes and pounds it into the ground without there being any point. Now, before the post goes in the ground, I can pick it up. I can throw it around. I could easily topple it over. But the moment that machine, just high vibrations, all it takes, it just goes right in the ground. No point in the end. And once it's in the ground, it's fixed. You will not move it an inch. It's done. It's steadfast. And that's what putting our faith in Jesus Christ does. It fixes us in the ground. We of ourselves, we're like cedar posts. We just get thrown around. You can just toss them and turn them and move them this way and that. But when we look to Jesus Christ and we fix our gaze on Him, He takes us and He pounds us in Himself. And we're fastened. If you're not walking by faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, daily crucifying the flesh, believing in His unchanging character and love and promises, it won't stand fast. When we fix our gaze upon Jesus Christ and believe His word for our lives, it's like Christ pounds us and we're fixed. We stand fast. We stand fastened in the faith. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave, the Bible says. Be brave. Now that's interesting that I like the New King James. It holds the same original text as the Old King James, but it also incorporates the earlier manuscripts that were discovered, and they stay as a accurate word-by-word translation. But I'm surprised that they did this. They say, be brave, okay? Some of you may have be of good courage, or if you have the Old King James, you probably, it says, quit you like men. Interesting. Quit you like men, and that's the accurate translation when you look at the original. And I can understand, you know, the idea of bravery being connected to that, but it's really what the Bible is saying is be men. And in our culturally sensitive between genders, age, you know, that things get changed. But that's what it's saying. Be men. The word is andritsomai. Now, the woman here shouldn't say, well, I guess that's not for me because I'm not a man. No, not at all. The idea harkens back to the ideal of a man rising up to defend his family, rising up to defend his faith, to defend his country, even in the face of complete and total opposition and potential disaster and sure failure. There's a call for men to andritsomai, but this befalls women just the same. We will be brave. We will not back down. We will rise to the occasion. We will think of the good of others. The nobility that befalls a soldier of Christ Jesus. When you stand fast, you can easily find yourself standing alone. The world will think you foolish. But those who are convinced that righteousness is on the scales, on the balance, truth, they will stand even if they stand alone. And they will be men, they will be brave. They will quit you like men. My newest favorite movie is Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. Old-time classic with Jimmy Stewart. I just watched it the other day. It's a fascinating story. You've got this state with two corrupt senators and this billionaire who basically owns them and tells them what to do and buys them their Senate seat. And one Senate dies in the midst of a scandalous bill that they're trying to pass that benefits this billionaire man. And there's 2 months left, so they say, well, why don't we get some bimbo in this seat just for a couple months? He doesn't know any better, and they won't get in our way. And they go and they get Jefferson Smith, who is a Boy Scout leader and he's a patriot, but he doesn't know the first thing about being a Senate and writing laws. So the other Senate tells him, let me handle it. You just, you know, do your thing. And as a turn of events comes, it finds out that Mr. Smith discovers that there's this corrupt bill trying to be pushed forward. And he, having that old school patriotism, tries to stop it. Well, the moment he threatens the billionaires, they go after him. They smear his name. They create all these lies about him, that he was trying to steal money from kids. And they push all these false agendas. And Mr. Smith, not knowing what he was up against, becomes discouraged. And he goes off to the Lincoln Memorial. And there's a scene when he kneels down, weeping. And his secretary, who was trying to help him, comes up and says, your friend, Mr. Lincoln, he had his enemies. So did every other man who ever tried to lift his thought up off the ground. She says, odds against them didn't stop those men. They were fools that way. All the good that ever came into this world came from fools with faith like that. You know that, Jeff. You can't quit now. Not you. And then Mr. Smith gets up and goes back and he begins a filibuster where he can remain talking until his side of the story is heard. And I just love that one scene, this one quote where he's just totally, his voice is hoarse. He's been talking for hours and hours and hours. And he says, I wouldn't give you 2 cents for all your fancy rules if behind them they didn't have a little bit of plain, ordinary, everyday kindness and a little looking out for the other fellow too. That's pretty important, all that. It's just the blood and bone of sinew of this democracy that some great men handed down to the human race. That's all. And eventually, he won. The other Senate confessed he was wrong. That is being a man. That is being brave. That is quitting you like men. Standing up against the powers of evil, even if you stand alone. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong, the Bible says. Be strong. Now, immediately when we hear this phrase, because of our bodybuilding buff culture, we think muscles, you know. Be strong. Be able to win the arm wrestle. But the Greek word gives the idea not so much that you are strong and you need to just exercise your brute strength, but to grow in strength. Paul is saying, be increasing in strength. Paul is saying to exercise in character and in faith. He tells the church of the Colossian church that he is striving, he is working, he is seeking to be strong. But it's with all the power which God is supplying. Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. To this end I labor. Okay, I labor, to this end I labor, striving according to His working which works in me mightily. All the strength, all the power is not in ourselves, it's in God. And we can continually be increasing in strength as God supplies the strength for each of us to continue to stand fast, to push forward. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, let all that you do be done with love. That's important. It's important. Even though the world likes to usurp this word and use it for their own ungodly agendas, it's true. If it's not qualified, we could easily take this idea of be strong, be brave, stand fast, watch, and we could easily turn it into the idealism of the conquering barbarians of the past. But we need to remember that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. We could easily trample over each other in an effort to be strong. We could easily become insensitive to the needs of others in our zeal for the kingdom of God. But we need to let all that we do be done in love. And that motivates us to press on even further in what is right because we love for the sake of those around us. You know, in the ancient Jews' day, in Bible times, in Christ's day particularly, you had these two groups of Jews. One of them was called the Zealots, and the other was called the Essenes. The Zealots would fiercely fight to protect the people of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. However, in their zeal, there were some that would occasionally become overly zealous, and they would group together and become vagabonds, vigilantes who would steal and loot the other Jews in order to further their cause. And then you had the Essenes on the other end of the spectrum. They had their amazing use. God used them to copy the scriptures. It was the Essenes, groups like them, who created the Dead Sea Scrolls. But as a result of being kind of so passive and isolated, they missed the coming Messiah, whom they had so hoped for. They were out in the wilderness when he came. And the motivation for us to stand fast is in love. You see the balance of these two, of active and considering others. We love truth. We love our fellow humans. We love our God. So we stand fast for what is right. That's the motivation. That's the motivation. Now, do we have any examples in the Bible of individuals who stood fast in the faith, who watched, who were brave, who were strong? Well, in the Old Testament, you have Joshua and Caleb. Remember, God sends men out to spy the land of Canaan. And he says, I'm going to give this land to the children of Israel. So he sends these men out, and they go out for 40 days, and they come back. Two men, Joshua and Caleb, say, the land is ours. God has given to us. Let us go. And all the other men, they say, no, no. We're like grasshoppers. There are grasshoppers out there. I mean, we are grasshoppers in the sight of the giants out there. They're mighty. They're massive. We'll never be able to conquer them. And Joshua and Caleb, they stand fast and they say, no, God has given us this land. Let us fight. The people get so enraged by them that they actually try to stone them. But they stood fast in the faith. David and Goliath. Need I say more? Esther. Think of Esther. Haman was trying to wipe out the Jews, and Esther's only hope was to approach the king without being asked, which was sure death. And she said, if I perish, I perish. And she stood fast against all odds. You had Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar created this 90-foot tall idol and commanded that all the peoples bow down and worship this idol. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to him, they didn't bow down and they were called before the king. They said, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace that they would have been thrown in. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king, but if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the god, the gold image that you have set up. He stood fast in the faith. What about the New Testament? Oh, we just read Peter and John, filled with the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, preaching in the name of Yeshua, Messiah, but then they're arrested because they're ruffling the feathers of the religious leaders. And the next day when they're questioned, the leaders told them, don't speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But without hesitation, Peter and John, knowing that their lives are on the line, they say, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Stand fast in your faith. What about post-Bible times? Athanasius. Who's that? The Trinity guy, right? The Trinity guy. He was a deacon in the Church of Alexandria at 27 years old. 27 years old, he was a deacon at the church in Alexandria, and this false doctrine, Arianism, was spreading. You know, that Jesus is a distinct substance in the Father, denying the Trinity. And it was spreading, and much of the Christian church was believing it, but Athanasius would not budge. Arian gained popularity. He would create slogans. He would create songs similar to TV infomercial catch tunes about his doctrine. Athanasius wouldn't budge. He wouldn't budge. Throughout his life, Athanasius was exiled 5 times. because he wouldn't budge. Five times he was exiled. Arian would go around saying, there was a time when the Son was not. And Athanasius would say, the Father is God, the Son is God, the Spirit is God, yet there are not three gods but one. And he stood his ground. And at one point, interesting, the emperor, story goes, the emperor went up to Athanasius and said, Athanasius, the world is against you. And his famous reply, he looks to the emperor and he says, well then, Athanasius is against the world. He wouldn't budge. He would stand fast in the faith. Martin Luther. All the powers of the corrupt Roman Catholic Church were against him. And he, having nailed his 95 theses and following through with his convictions, he was eventually arrested. With his life on the line, he stood before all the powers of evil men. They were commanding him to recant, and he resolutely responds, unless I am convinced by the testimony of the Holy Scriptures or by evident reason, for I cannot believe neither Pope nor councils alone, and it is clear that they have erred repeatedly and contradicted themselves. I consider myself convicted by the testimony of the Holy Scripture, which is my basis. My conscience is captive to the Word of God. Thus I cannot and will not recant, because acting against one's own conscience is neither safe nor sound. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. Stand fast in your faith. And on and on and on throughout history. But what about you? What about me? You know, we're talking about this event coming up. Two things will happen. God will grant us an extension of the conservative administration we've been given these past 4 years, and we pray that He does. But when it does, will we stand fast in the faith and unashamedly take advantage of the opportunity for the gospel, willingly crossing the divide and reaching our neighbors for Christ openly? Are we going to buckle under the pressures of social awkwardness that we tend to find ourselves buckling under so often? Or if God denies us this extension, will we stand fast in the faith? When the crosshairs are put on us, when we want to go to the store or go to the doctor, or wherever else they'll deny us service because they see us as conservative Christians and we'll be labeled as perpetrators of hate crime, will we stand fast? I think what we're asking here this morning, will we keep our hand raised even when everybody else has theirs down? Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. Amen.